Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome this holiday weekend. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm hoping everybody's traveling safely, but thank you for tuning in to my show wherever you're at. And I have another wonderful guest on my show, and it's Tony and Esther. They are the operating head at Homes, a nonprofit dedicated to rescuing horses and people. Tony, welcome to my show.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And Esther is sick. I remember you mentioned you called me earlier and let me know she doesn't feel very well, and hopefully she's getting better. And you have somebody else that you brought with you as well?
Yes, actually, I have. He's our senior horse expert here on the property.
Would you just introduce him? Just tell us his name.
Okay, his name is Walt.
Hi, Walt. Are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
Okay. And Tony, tell me a little bit about your story about heading home. You know, tell me what made you get this, you know, nonprofit organization started.
Okay, well, this all started out all back in probably 2015. Let's see, my son had the same thing over in California. And so after I give up all working, I decided my wife and I were going to go over and help him out over there. Well, in February of 2015, he had a massive heart attack, and passed away. So that sort of stuck us some welch on that plan. And so Esther and I started eyeing around here in Utah, and also there was a few that small outfits over here, but it was nothing on the scale that Dave had over there. So we did our due diligence, and in October of 2015, and we incorporated and all sent in to the IRS and wrote up a narrative and sent it in. And became a 501c3, and everything else is history.
Well, tell me a little bit about you. And I noticed that you mentioned to me earlier that you were involved in horses for over 50 years. And
exactly.
Pardon me?
Yeah, exactly. I've been on horses all my life.
And your son does the exact same thing as you're doing, but it's in California. Is it the same thing, Heading Homes, or does that have another name?
It's all separate. And he was in with somebody else, and it was him that gave me the idea of going over here in Utah. And then after he passed away.
I'm sorry about that.
And us all going over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about why did you pick Utah of all places in the country to start this?
That's a very short story. I was hauling long haul, and so I came to Salt Lake a lot. And I had a few friends there, and I had a friend of mine that offered me a job if I felt like settling down. And so I go and tell everybody that I settled here in 1978 in a fit of insanity, and I've been crazy ever since.
Mm-hmm. And Tony, how do you find these, you know, the horses? How do you find these horses that are hurt or need to be moved or something like that? How do you find them?
Well, an awful lot of them, I have, I answer my phone. I get a lot of phone calls about that. And the other thing is also I go and, I'm involved with Animal Services. Mm-hmm. In the cities here in the Salt Lake Valley and then also in the outlying areas. And the other thing is folks will Google and they'll look for horse rescue. And mm-hmm. a lot of them find it's like that.
Mm-hmm. Walt, can you explain to me a little bit too about, you know, a little bit how they, you know, Tony gets these horses?
Sure. A lot of our horses come from people that no longer can take care of them. And
right.
they've been in a pasture for a very long time. And they've been feeding them and that's it. And they got to the point where they just can't take care of them. So they call Tony and we go pick them up and they donate them. And then we start evaluating them and trying to get them back to where they're healthy horses again. And what I mean by that is, horses need to be around people. If they're not, then they don't trust people. So we take the time to make them kind of, they're happy if they have a job, so to speak. And that job is to, you know, be ridden and that type of thing. So does that help?
Okay. Yes, yes. And okay. Do you ever find any of the horses that have been hurt? Like some owners, you know, don't treat them right? Do you ever get a call on that or somebody tells
we
you,
do.
You know, hey?
That's kind of a rare thing. Sometimes they're not fed, they're neglected, and other agencies might step in and bring them to us. Most of the time, I think it's just the people, their kids have grown up, they no longer ride them, they just don't know what to do with them, and they get tired of spending the money for their feed.
Oh, dang it. It's like having a child and saying, oh, I don't want it anymore. It's like, or even a dog or a cat,
yes.
you know, people don't
yes.
want them anymore because,
yes,
oh, we're moving,
know.
We don't want you anymore. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's the hard part. It is.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I've been out to your place and watch it, you know, progress. And they look pretty good. They look happy, you know. Their tail's going up and down. I mean, you know what I mean? You got them moving and riding and a lot of fun stuff. Do you have any activities coming up for the month of December with your horses? Like, are you going to...
We do. I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit because one of the things that Tony and Esther have set up is we call it the Cavalry Club.
Oh,
and those are volunteers that have signed up with this, and they get to ride. They want to ride horses. They don't own horses and that, so we take care of everything. They come out, and we go riding. We try to do that about once a week, but being in the winter now, that might be once every other week. So that's one of the ways we rehabilitate these horses. We get them used to people again, and we get these people. They get a lot of people come out there, a lot of volunteers that come out and brush them, spend time with them, and kind of get them active in that way.
Uh-huh. Fun. And do you do anything for the month of December? I mean, do you have any activities coming up?
Nothing other than probably the, like I said, the Calvary Club. We do have volunteers on Saturdays where people come out, and because we do have a lot of work to do, and we have a lot of volunteers come out and help us. We're currently in the middle of building some horse sheds and a few other things that we're doing on the ground. So every Saturday we can use as many people as we can get to help us kind of groom the grounds, groom the horses, and work on the projects that we have, which are the sheds for the horses or the barns, whatever you want to call them, and some fencing that we need to be done. And another thing that unforeseen come up out of nowhere. So, you know, we'll probably have four or five of those things that'll pop up that we got to take care of too.
Okay. And also too, well, I noticed that you help people. Where do people fall into, you know, taking care of these horses?
Well, as far as that is, they, there's a lot of folks that all come to us. There's a form of therapy called equine therapy. Okay, in this, actually, the horse is the therapist. It's the, actually the connection. It's in between the individual and the horse. The thing of it is they have to go and it's a form of them clearing their mind and getting down so that they can communicate there with the horse.
Wow.
And so I have folks that have been veterans. They're all veterans. I have some that are coming to the active service. So we have active service and veterans. And we have actual civilians and folks that have all been involved with domestic abuse. They have also the PTSD. It isn't only the first responders in the military that get PTSD. If somebody is involved in domestic abuse or issues such as that, that is a form of domestic abuse. We have some kids that have autism. A couple have been coming out that have Down syndrome. And some are nonverbal, that even though they're nonverbal, they can set up a connection with the horse. We had a couple of kids come out. There were a couple sisters. There was about maybe 13 was the oldest one, and the youngest one is about 11.
So, Tony, how does the horses and the people work together? How does this combine together?
Okay, well, the thing that I was setting up is I have a couple of kids that all came out. Each of them have autism, and the youngest is all nonverbal. And I have an old mule out there who's not friendly with anybody. And so these kids all came up at the fence line, and old John, he's about a 14, 15-year-old mule, and he came up and just started nuzzling these kids. And he stood there for about 15 minutes, letting them love on him and talk to him and everything else. And they formed a real bond. So when they started to leave, he followed them, and he got very mad because I would not let him out. Had to follow them. And so essentially, this is decided on connection. It would feel like all they're making in between the humans and the horses.
What about children that are troubled? You know, they're just troubled at home, maybe a little wiry, and the parent saying, hey, I got to find something for him to do. He doesn't want to get into sports. He doesn't want to do theater, but I got to find something for him to do. How do they can they come out to you? Do you have a time, place for them to come out to?
Let me hand that over here to Walt, and he can fill you in on the meet and greet.
Meet and greet. Okay, Walt. Yeah. So how can somebody with issues like that, you know, I have a child that's, you know, they're 13, 14, it just, you know, causing trouble at home. They, you know, the parent doesn't know what to do with them. And, you know, they don't do sports and they don't want theater or anything like that. Could they come out to you? You know, would you think
definitely.
This would help them?
Yes. And we get children even younger than that. I mean, it's like 4, 5 years old. But a lot of the children that are kind of, like you might say, problem, a little bit high-strung and have, you know, like a hard time focusing on things, that seems to go away when they're with the horse. When we introduce them and we let them stand there, we let them pet the horse, brush the horse, and they focus on it, and they seem to slow down, and they seem to really enjoy what they're doing. And all those problems, I'm not going to say disappear, but maybe for the time being, they forget about it. And you'd be amazed at how some of these kids, they don't want to leave the horses. They love coming out there, and it seems to be a bit of a peaceful time for them. And I think it helps them sometimes kind of regroup, so to speak.
What about when I was out there last week to meet up with Tony and Esther, and I know I saw some children, like you said, they were brushing, they were, you know, I think I saw three of them, you know, brushing the horse, and I think because they rid it and then they, you know, brush it after. And, I don't know if they're troubled children or anything, but they were taking very good care of the horse.
Well, most kids, when they first meet the horse, they're a little bit intimidated. And then they get over it after spending some time. They kind of get a little more relaxed and they get a little more trusting. And the horse does the same thing because they are a little bit intimidated when new people come around them. They don't know what to expect. So it's kind of a connection they both work on, and it's amazing sometimes how fast that works and how strong that bond gets. Those kids come back, and they want to go to those same horses over and over.
The same one. They make a friend with a horse. That is so good. And then what about people with PTSD? And isn't that usually what the vets have or the military, you know, those who've been in the service?
Well, I sort of did on that there before. Is as far as the PTSD, that isn't only for first responders and veterans, active military and all that, because as far as if somebody who has all been involved in a domestic abuse situation, things that is all as far as having a very hard home life there to feed for children, this is something that also gives them domestic abuse. It is also giving them PTSD. It isn't only that mental illness that goes for veterans versus responders.
For anybody who has PTSD. Now, do you work with any therapists, counselors, anybody with them that can bring their patients out? Can they call you and see if they can bring their patients out? See if that, you
exactly.
know, as a form of treatment.
Bill and I work with some folks up at the University of Utah, the mm-hmm. College of Social and Behavioral Sciences, and wow. then also with the folks at the Utah National Guard. In fact, we have a couple of therapists that all come out from there now and then and come out to see how things are ongoing, and they have seminar referrals. Or I'm not sure if they're from them, but they all come from the VA. Pretty much anyone that's in the area. I have had some individual therapists that have their own practice, and also seminar referrals.
That's good.
And it's very helpful for them.
Good. So they see the difference in their patients.
Exactly. In fact.
And what about the horses? When the horses are with these, I mean, because they've been traumatized too, and these horses see these, you know, people that are traumatized, you know, have issues and stuff. I mean, does that help the horse as well?
Well, as I said, it helps horses and humans. It's the humans helping horses, helping humans. It's just like a circle, because everything that is the horse is helping the humans, the same thing is going when the humans are helping the horses.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something to that. Horses, they are quick to forgive. And when they're treated properly and you know, they make connections with people, they tend to forget those problems. And they become happier horses, so to speak, and much easier to be around. And then they have to get to a point where they want to be around. Like, there's several horses, if you go out there, they're going to come right up to the fence because they're going to want you to come over and, you know, spend some time with them, talk to them, pet them, whatever. That kind of thing. So they benefit, I think, as much as the people.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I noticed that because Tony mentioned, Walt, that some of the horses came from California. And so you came from other states and bring them into Utah?
Yeah, there's a few. And we've got a Mustang that was rounded up in Idaho and somebody bought and they transported them to Utah, and then after some problems, they donated that Mustang to us. There's some other horses that I'm not positive on that may have came from out of state. We don't actively pursue horses from outside of Utah. We've got our hands full right here in Utah in that, but we would never turn down any horse that needs help. And that's usually why people contact us.
Okay, and this is really good. And you have, you know, many different types of horses. Which one's the youngest? Do you have a really young one there, like a colt?
We do. We've got a filly, and she's probably about 11 months old.
Oh my gosh, a baby!
Yep. She's a baby, and she's just learning to deal with people and get friendly. Then from there, we've got a couple that are coming up on 3 years old or maybe a little bit over three. After that, they jump up to somewhere probably right around 9 or 10. About their age is what we have right now. We do have a Mustang mare that is pregnant, and we think she will be having her foal in, we're thinking February. We're not real positive on that because we don't have a lot of background. So that'll be the first colt that'll be born on the property.
Hopefully February 14th, a Valentine's Day, of course.
That would be nice. That would be a good day.
That would be a memorable day. And I've seen you do a lot of events with the community. They come out and they get to ride them, and and meet the horses and stuff like that. And do you ever work with any of the horse clubs or anything like that? They come out and help you take care of them?
Well, as far as that is, we have organizations and all that call us to go and do a day of service. They all come out and spend 4 or 5 hours out there going and getting involved with the horses and things like this. Mm-hmm. And also we go and work with some of the courts. It's either the juvenile and the adult courts, and folks can do their community service. And then also we've had had folks that have come for community service, and they end up keeping on and coming even after their hours are fulfilled and everything is all taken care of. They say, hey, can I keep on coming? I enjoy this.
Wow.
The other thing that I was going to bring up, and since we are a horse rescue, I won't say all of them, although quite a few of them have come in and they're underweight and they have illnesses, things like this. Some of them haven't had their hoofs trimmed in all quite a while.
Wow.
And so when we first all bring them in, we have them evaluated by a vet and then a farrier. And anything that's obvious that needs to be fixed, we go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, when they come in underweight, they can be upwards of maybe that 350 pounds underweight. I've had a few come in that I can stick my fingers right in between their ribs. That's how underweight they are. And it isn't something you can solve overnight. It usually takes anywhere from 6 or 8 months to sometimes a year to get them back up in the shape they should be, because we have to feed them some special feed. We have to make sure they have the hay they need. And that brings up another thing. As unbelievable as it sounds, some horses are allergic to alfalfa. And
wow.
If folks don't and let us know, as they send the horses in to us, we end up feeding them there with the others, and we don't find out they're allergic to alfalfa. They might all come down with laminitis or something like this here. And then we have to go and solve all that and put them just on grass hay and some special feeds to go and get them all healthy again. And so it isn't all like cut and dried like some of you might think. Go and feed them hay, and I don't know what kind of hay you feed them, but feed them hay, they'll get fat. It's not as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And to keep them busy, because some of them I noticed that you can't ride because the owner ride them too soon. But do you keep them busy, like moving? Do you have a circle thing where they go around and around? Or I guess you have a lot of people coming out there to ride them, but do you keep them pretty busy?
Each horse, after we evaluate them, a lot of our volunteers come out and they walk them. We make sure they get an exercise besides eating properly or whatever. We want them to be exercised and take care of them that way so that they develop a little bit quicker. And that's what we rely on our volunteers to do, not just brush them and that, but to walk them, give them their exercise, give them some time and that kind of thing. Also, I noticed I wanted to make a comment on, you were asking about clubs and that. And we would welcome, and we are always open to clubs or any organizations or even individuals who would like to come out and learn about horses, learn how to ride. That's another thing we do. We do give riding lessons from intermediate, or actually beginner, all the way up to advanced. Those are the ways that we try to raise money, you know, because they usually give us donations and things like that. So we're always open to that, and we're hoping this is the kind of exposure that's going to help us on that, if that makes sense.
Okay, yes, that's good. And how would someone get in touch with you?
The thing they can do is go and check us out on our website, which is Heading Home with no G on the head. That's HEAEINHOME. And that's dot .org.
Yeah, org. So you're saying it's Heading Home, so it's HEADINHOME.org.
That's right.
Okay.
And for anybody who's interested in making donations, if you're going in fostering a horse, there's all sorts of ways to make donations. If they get on our website and go into the donation tab, and they can see how they can make the donations into the general fund, so they can make it for hay. There's all sorts of options for them there.
Mm-hmm. And then also, too, isn't there something else? I remember when I came out and met you guys through the summer, there was you have adoption program. You're like, you adopt the horse.
Yes, ma'am, Kathy. As far as that is, the thing we do is we operate similar to the BLM. So the folks have to come out, and it's a 50-50 on the adoption. Now, the folks have to feel comfortable with the horse, although the horse has to feel comfortable with the humans, too.
And does the horse kind of pick you? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
For that story, do they pick you?
Yes, that is... Actually, that's it.
This kind of like a pet, like a dog or a cat. You know, they pick you. They kind of like know who their owner's going to be. You know what I mean? It's just, you don't go buy one. You just, yeah. You know what I mean? Make sure that that's right for you. That's good. So how long does that take? I mean, doesn't it take time for the horse and the human, for a person to get used to the...
Yeah, ordinarily the thing on that is, you can go out and with a senior volunteer, you can go out on the pasture and you can go and get involved with the horses and very much go and meet every horse that's out there. Mm-hmm. As soon as you meet them, if the horse has an inkling to do it, it'll follow you around. And then
so cute.
It will follow you all just like a big old puppy dog. And then...
That's what some of my friends who have horses, they said they're like big kids.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, just like having a big kid. But, okay.
Let me interject something.
Yeah, come back right after these messages.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Heading Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Heading Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
Is your power bill so high you can't see straight? I can help you out with that. This is Rick Cove, owner of LED Installation Solutions. I can cut your power bill in half and give you more light. give us a call for your free consultation. 801-623-1246. Again, this is Rick Cove, 801-623-1246.
Hey everyone, this is Rachel, owner of Club 90 in Sandy, Utah, and we've been providing great entertainment since 1979. This year, Club 90 will be celebrating our 40-year anniversary on Saturday, December 7th. This huge party will be emceed by Mark Cobell, news anchor at KUTV Channel 2. Club 90 has great food, serving lunch and dinner daily and breakfast on Saturday and Sunday, with daily lunch specials Monday through Friday. There's great entertainment and events daily, including live bands, DJs, karaoke, and so much more. If you're looking for a place for your upcoming private event, company party, or fundraiser, Club 90 has plenty of space and private rooms for rental, as well as catering. Club 90 is located at 9065 South Monroe Street in Sandy, just off of I-15, and we're open every day from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. You can visit us on our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Club 90 SLC, or give us a call at 801-566-3254.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
This is Sherry, your Medicare specialist. I help people understand Medicare better in order to make smarter decisions among all the types of Medicare plans. Medicare seems complicated, but let me simplify it so that you feel empowered to make the right decisions for yourself about your health care. You need to understand all your options. So please don't let someone enroll you in a plan just because it looks good. You need someone in your corner. Someone who is more concerned about you and less concerned about the money they'll make. Call me, Sherry, at 801-651-0644.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm sitting here with Tony and his friend, Walter. And Tony's the owner and operator of Head and Homes, a nonprofit dedicated to rescuing horses and people. Tony, how are you doing?
We are doing fantastic.
This program is absolutely wonderful that you're doing, and especially helping people, helping especially children as well as adults, especially those who have, you know, some form of mental illness like PTSD or, you know, just have some tension disorder.
Well, so, actually, we get a lot of referrals from different therapists. They're because they feel, especially with their children, they relate a lot easier if we have animals involved. And the thing with especially horses, you have cats and dogs and stuff like that that are small, they're easy, let's see, to move around. And although if you get involved there with a horse, you're not going to go and move around there, that 1,200-pound horse. And so you have to make a connection in some way. It's make yourself understood so the horse understands what you want it to go and do. It's not that you and I are telling the horse to do something. You are asking the horse. And so,
And where are you located at?
We are located in Magna, Utah. That's where the ranch is. It's on Highway 201 at 8000 West over in Magna, Utah.
And so when you go out there, there's usually somebody there. So someone comes out there about 8 o'clock in the morning, there's someone there.
We usually have somebody there in between 9 and maybe let's see, 5 or 6 in the evening. It's a lot. Later in the summer because it stays light until 8 or 9 o'clock, and so it's easier and it's warmer, so it's easier to stay out there later in the summer than it is in the
Tony,
winter.
Tony, are these horses protected? You know, do you have a good fencing and some lights? Are they, you know, monitored?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as that is, we have the fencing. We are setting up some shelters for them now. There's a security system out there, and so is all far as that goes.
Because if somebody wants to adopt a horse, they want to make sure that their horse is, taken care of and, you know what I mean, is safe.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
And so on the adoption, we operate similar to the BLM. We all get the horse and the human matched up. They sort of choose each other. And then we all push them under adoption for about a year. And we all monitor them and see how things are going, see if the horse is receiving all the done care and everything that it's all needed. And then also, that's making sure they're all taking done care of it and following through with the farrier medical. And after a year, if everything is all the cool, then the thing we do is we get the brand inspector involved. She writes up, paperwork for the transfer of ownership. In the state of Utah, every livestock that's involved, they have to be inspected by the state, which is a brand inspector. I come out and they write up the paperwork. As soon as they get the paperwork on that, then the transfer is complete and the horse is theirs.
Oh my gosh. That's a good idea when you really should buy a horse. You should be able to adopt it first, make sure you know what you're doing before that horse is led into your hands.
That's the main idea.
People who have horses, that's what they should do. So they, I'm grateful that you're there to help them for those who neglect them. But, I think that's a smart idea before they can even take that horse, or colt, to make sure that they can, I think it should be adoption. Sorry.
One of the things we do when somebody wants to adopt a horse, it's important we find out what they want to use that horse for.
Yes.
And then we try to match that horse to the personality and for the job that they're going to give the horse. And that takes, sometimes that takes 2-3 weeks, and we like them to come out as often as they can and spend time with the horse. They may pick one, and then, a couple days later, they may find that that's not the right horse. So it's important that we match them with the correct horse and with the job that they want that horse to do. So, and that's a large part of that adoption. After that, we just help them at every turn. If they have any questions, any behavior problems with the horse, we're there. Even when the horse is on their property, they just need to give us a call. We'll come out and we will show them how to correct those, how to work with the horse to make sure it's a good combination.
Oh, that's so nice. That's good. That's really, mm-hmm. really good idea. So you're there to help them even when they purchase a horse, to make sure that they know what they're doing and make sure that, or if they bought a colt, that they know how to raise that colt.
Right. That's a very important part, and we help them every step of the way. Also, if the horse that they think it's sick or something, and you know they need help identifying what the problem is, you know, or if they need to take it to a vet, we're there for that.
Oh, that's good. Or if a horse needs to be laid down, you're there too as well. There's something that was on my mind I wanted to ask about the horses. About movies. Are they involved in any movies? I think, Tony, you mentioned something that was coming up in February with Kevin Costner.
That is a thing that I have been informed of. Is he has seen a photograph of one of the horses we have down there, and he really likes it. And as soon as they come back from hiatus over the holidays, I was all told he might be coming out and then checking the horse out, because it is in the old,
That would be good. Yeah, Kevin Costner's really into horses, so, and he has a place up in Jackson Hole, one of his places. But anyway, back to taking care of. I like the idea when you purchase a horse, you're there to help them to make sure that that horse is being, you know, help them take care of that horse or to give them some ideas. And I think that this is my opinion. And I want to know if it's, you know, you agree. Shouldn't it be more than one person in the family know how to take care of that horse instead of just one person?
Well,
do you know what I mean? Because I see a lot of my friends, too, they'll buy a horse for their son or daughter, but then they go off to college, and then the parents are like, I don't know what to do with this horse.
Some of our horses have all they come from that exact same situation.
Aww.
The object for us is making sure that the adoption succeeds. We want to see it succeed and have a happy horse, have a happy horse owner.
And how long do horses usually live? How long do they live?
I'm going to say horses here in the valley, if they get used a lot, they are still rideable up around 30, 32 years old. Horses on the ranches where they're ridden like every day, you know, will live up until 35, 38 years old. It really depends on how did you take care of them, how much exercise they get. They're just like a human. If you just sit out in the pasture and eat grass and hay and don't get any exercise, then that cuts their life short. So that's part of what we train people, and we let them know. That's why it's important the horses get the proper exercise and they get used. That's why their job is so important.
What do you think about the plant? You know, I see some people that I know who have horses, and they have that thing that they make them go around. They tie them up too, and they just have them go around and around. I just think that's—I don't know. I don't like that. I think they should, like you said, should be ridden. You know what I mean?
That's kind of the lazy, and I'm not—you know—I'm not trying
it's
to be
lazy.
Rude there in any way. But yes, that's called a horse walker, and most of those are powered by
horse
a
walker.
Small little motor, and that. But again, the horse is on its own. It's just—it's forced to walk. It's so much better and healthier for the horse to have a person there, a personality, someone to talk to it, to walk it, and ride it, and that kind of thing. It's just exercise is exercise. It does its job, but it makes a much better horse and a much more stable horse if it has that constant connection with people.
If I was going to adopt the horse, and, you know, do I need to come out there every day? What would you, you know, do you have a schedule for me that I should take care of that horse? Or,
well,
what I'm saying?
We encourage you to come out, you know, as much as you can. And what I mean by that is that when you adopt a horse, you take on the responsibility of that horse's life. that horse needs to be fed. It needs to be fed twice a day or at least once a day. It needs to have fresh water, and those things need to be checked on a daily basis. The horse, you know, himself needs to be checked over, you know, every couple of days. They pick up little wounds here and there. It's you never know where they got it or how they got it, but invariably you'll have, we have horses out there all the time that'll have a cut or a scratch or something, so they're going to need some medical attention. So to be a proper and be a good horse owner, it's just like a dog or even, you know, kids, you've got to kind of check them out every day.
Interesting. Wow. I can see that. I can see that. And, and do you do any form of help? Yeah, you do. You would help us, right? You would help us to make sure, especially in the beginning, to, with, you know, adopting. Yeah. Okay. And,
go ahead.
Wow. That's cool. Sorry. Do you adopt one horse for that one person, or is that horse adopted by 2 to 3 people?
Well, actually, on that, here's a program we have where you can foster a horse. Now, when we foster a horse, that is a couple of folks will go and help as far as you can see the feeding and taking care of it and stuff like this here. If they're all local, they can come and do it physically. If they're not in the general vicinity here and they feel like fostering a horse, then they can send us an inquiry. We will send photographs and the history of some horses, and they can choose the horse they want to foster. And that's mostly their monetary. And then they can go and learn on the upkeep and overall well-being of the horse and everything else. And that would be like a monthly thing. The thing that I will say also on the horse, if you come out and all that mess around with the horses, you can take it for a walk, you can do this and that, you can talk with it, you can ask it, if I was, how you're feeling, you know, you can spill all your guts out there to that horse. The one thing about that horse, it'll never tell you secrets. It'll never lie to you.
Yeah, that's and true. It's like any animal. Yes, that's so true. And they are, you have some beautiful horses out there. I was out there, you know, a week ago to meet up with you, Tony, and you have some beautiful horses and look like they're being taken care of very, very well, especially out in the path. You know, some of them are covered up. They're taken care of very, very well from what I've seen. And Walt, so what's your job, Walt? What do you do for Tony?
Okay, what I do is when we get a horse, I do the evaluation. And then once we evaluate that horse to be healthy, then we work on getting that horse to where it can be ridden, and it learns its controls again, how to steer it, how to stop it, and that's what I do. And then I have 3 trainers that work under me, and that. So we're the first ones that experiment and find out if the horse has any bad problems or if it wants to buck or anything like that. Once we do that.
There's something. What if you give a horse that has a bad temper, but yet you work with him for a while? You think, okay, I'm going to give this horse a chance. And then next you know it, after a month or even 3 months, he mellows out. Have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, yes, yes. We get horses that are what I call stubborn or have attitudes, and we work with them to get rid of that. Usually that's just because they don't trust you. Or they don't trust the humans, and we work with that until they do. And every horse, just about every horse, can be trained and turned into a good horse, so to speak. And that's what I do with my trainers. And that we are all advanced riders, and you know, we teach them what it is we want them to do and how they want, you know, we want them to do it. And then that way they're safe for others to ride. We don't let anybody else ride them until we deem them to be safe.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I just saw, I think, two horses that were off to their own. You know, they were in a little caged, you know, caged in. And I think Esther told me at one time that that's where they get better. You know, you watch them and get them better.
Yes. Now, we do have some that need medical attention.
Yeah, that's what medical, those, yeah.
Okay. Those, we have about four of those, I think, right now. And we have a volunteer by the name of Gwen. She is the person that handles that every day. She makes sure they get their special needs, whatever medication that is, special feed. Hooves get clean. They get blankets on when it's cold. The blankets come off when it's warm. They get walked around and nursing them back to health. Once they get back to a good general health, then we start working on the riding aspect of what they're going to do and move them on from there. So we have horses up and down that, you know, that fit all categories in there that need special care.
Well, I hope that Kevin Costner comes in to pick up that horse that he has eye on. And that would really, really give you a little bit more exposure besides me. And I'm really impressed with Tony with what you're doing, with you and Esther, what you're doing. I think it's, you know, they need some help too. They need some support. And there are many people that I come. There's many people I've come across who have who are horse lovers. So they're going to be coming out there.
Yeah.
So you're going to probably get even more support. And what is it, Tony, that you're really that you really need before the year's over with? What are you looking for?
Well, the thing we're looking for, first of all, we couldn't even get halfway as much as we have if we didn't have the quality of volunteers we have. Although the main thing we need is donations.
Donations.
We are right in the center of a fund drive to get a couple of semi-loads of hay. We found a fellow who will give us a very, very reasonable deal on hay. And so we would like to get a couple of semi-loads of hay, and it would make us happy, and the horses, it would fatten them up over the winter. So as far as that is, that's the main thing. We accept the money, we accept the materials, or we accept your time.
Wow.
So that's the thing we need, is either money, materials, or then time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how do they get a hold of you again? Through the website? Yeah, the website is head, HEAN, home, HOME.org.
Yeah.
So it's
and
head.
And also, home, if they feel like they're writing a check, they can write a check out and go and make a deposit under the head and home account at any America First Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
They can send a check to the office here, and the address is on the website.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Tony, for coming on, and I hope you have a very, very nice Thanksgiving. Do you ever give the horses any little special treat on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, as far as that is, I give them a big old bag of that carrots. And I think they'd rather have the carrots and apples.
Carrots and apples.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Tony,
too,
for coming on. And Walt, thank you so much as well as,
thank
helping
you
them out. And I think that, you know, I think you're going to get some a lot of support. So hopefully the 2020 will be an amazing year and get some really good support with the community as well as all over the United States.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and have a happy Thanksgiving, and to everybody down listening, have a very happy holiday season.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening in. Bye-bye.